Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 19th of July 2020. And what a ride we're on, eh? It's a real roller coaster. I hope you're all hanging in, not hanging yourselves, but hanging in there, because folks are getting awfully depressed. And it's going to get a lot worse too, as we're cajoled and threatened into this new system, a system planned long before the COVID idea broke out and was implemented. And we have lots and lots of evidence, naturally, that it was in the planning for many years to bring us to this particular point. We always think that we are somehow part of societal evolution. And it's a crazy idea that you're part of it, because most folk are not part of it. You exist within it, but you really don't, you've no say in how it's implemented or even what kind of future you would have. Most folk, it's true enough, the bulk of the population go along to get along. It's a quite a natural thing to do. But you keep forgetting amongst the people that you coexist with, there are those who often form little bands and clubs, sometimes big bands and clubs, through education, through business, and through their big hobbies of ruling the world. It's a big hobby for a lot of people. And how to get more and more power over the public. And when you merge that with academia and all of the so-called social sciences and psychology as well, behaviorism, etc., and eugenics, which is all ties in with anything to do with humanity, they bring into eugenics naturally. It's awfully important to those that rule the world and what kind of world that they have planned for the future, when most of us will die off through sterility or simply not having children, at least not live births and so on. And we just will pass away. And they'll bring in their new system, of course, a scientific type of technocracy for a particular period of time. And folk can't grasp that. They always think short term. That if you bring this in, it'll last, and that's going to be forever. No, it won't be. Whatever they're bringing in is going to be temporary as well, and have a fixed lifespan of efficacy to suit the bosses until they go on to the next stage. And that's how they work this out. This is not my idea of it. It's a summary, really, of all the books I've read that they put out themselves at the top. And I mean, putting out these books for an awful long time. You can take the basic ones going back to the Rosicrucians as an example, and even long before them, in fact, of the idea written in allegorical form of altering humanity and making, you know, gold out of lead, meaning basically getting the base product, which is general humanity, and sharpening them and refining them into a more pure human being. This is how they say it. And the reason it's a degreed system is that it's not meant for everyone, even those that join it at the bottom level, or the Blue Lodge in Masonry, for example. Most folk think it's a self-help club and a camaraderie for men, and partly that's true. But at the same time, as you go up the ladder and really go up and up and up and up, you find out it's not egalitarian at all. It's very selective on those who get to the top. And even then, if they're good enough, they get on to a much higher degrees above that, because then you're put into places of power. You're especially if you've been really, at the very least, chosen when you were even a teenager, even before that. Some of them, I think, really personally, I really believe it, are bred this way by very careful breeding and selection of partners or whatever, or even just sperm and ovum. This is an old thing that they've been doing for a long time, and they keep harping on about it, that they can create perfect humans if you just allow them to take over the world and allow them to design the perfect humans. They'll take out the bad genes, as they call it, and put more advanced type genes in for intellect and physical health, all that kind of stuff. And all they have to do is get the compliance of the general public. You see, that's been an awful nuisance that for them for an awful long time. This compliance, it's rightfully theirs, you see. That's how they say it for themselves. They're the ones who run the world. And after all, they have all they have members who run the economies of the world, the financing of the world, the chronology of money, and the wizards of cash, you might say. So they have them all on top, and have academia there too with all their sciences and long-winded degrees, etc., on how to manipulate, manage, and control the general public, how to use way beyond public relations techniques that Bernays talked about in Propaganda, his book way back a long time ago. When he was boasting about how they got America into World War I, he was put in charge of a massive team and a big financing to convince the public to just back Wilson and go off to war. And after the war, he boasted about it. They have great egos, these psychopaths. I like to tell you how they fooled you. But he did mention about the subconscious, taking it from Freud, naturally. You can understand that there's a group from Freud, even before Freud, a group really who understood where they were going with the world and how they had a mission, you see. And the mission would be partly to destroy religion. That was a big part, actually. Replace it with science, especially science of the mind, until you would allow them to create a new culture, a new behavior, a new normal behaviors for the general public, which is still going on today. Big time, in fact. Most folk today have no idea that their parents and the grandparents before them were all victims of this big, long agenda that went through the whole 20th century, altering culture, belief, and opinions and everything else, all to suit the ones at the top. And now you're in for the big push, where you're being trained that you're not worth much at all. I mean, you're just another little insignificant drop of water in the big pool. So accept your place and your diminished ability to conceive of what, to actually appreciate what you are, and accept the fact you're lowly nothing. And that's what you're getting taught today, big time, with this mass psychology that's going on. And we're all in it together, wartime attitude that they use, all these slogans they use for wartime. And it rubs out the fact that there's individuals. You're all individuals, if you stop and think about it. And you've got to stop being part of this giant herd. Once you're into a herd, you obviously have herd management. It's harder to say we have an expert to manage you, the individual. That, you see, that's a lot of work for them then. And they've got to get compliance tests put out and agreements and so on. They won't get it that way. But when you label everything as a country or the mass, it's much, much easier then to put out the experts, then simply dictate down to you, like Dr. Fauci and others like him, members of his ilk. And so that's how it really works. It's very simple, really. And it's not new. It's been understood for an awful long time how to do this. And there's never been a time where even with the countless daily and weekly and monthly and yearly surveys and psychology and behaviorism of all the different tests that ran through university students and volunteers and society in general, etc., to get folk to comply and conform and so on with demands that put upon them, right down to even convincing you to why you're not voting at all, to then who you should actually be voting for. It's all done to you, and using incredible sciences, so that you come to what you think is your own opinion on things, and you go along with it. In fact, you'll argue with folk when they'll tell you, look, this didn't come from your own mind. It's projected into you with bits and bytes of information, repetition. And literally, if you understand the magic, this is the key to things that they knew way before the French Revolution, and with Kabbalah and the Rosicrucian ideas and the Rosicrucian Manifesto as well, that most folk literally are what they're made of by those who rule them. In a true slave society, you'd say, by those who own you, you see. And the trick in all societies is to convince the public that they're free. And if you're really good at it, they'll believe it. And so it'll be absurd when you say, you realize you're getting treated like slaves here, and big corporations have made plans to inject you with all kinds of things, not just this COVID thing. And it's been in the works and the planning for many, many years. They won't believe you. They can't believe that anyone would go to that length to fool you. Which is precisely why it works. It's your own disbelief, you see. But that's how it's done. That really is how it's done. Those who run the world see us, as literally as I said before, like a huge herd of cattle. And it was rather obvious to me, even reading the writings by many of them at the time, but it was very obvious to me that even in the 1970s, you had this wallow. It was like a wallowing of nothingness. I could say, it's a very hard thing to put into words, but it's where the economies, especially in Europe and Britain and places, felt stagnant. And they were stagnant. But there was also a stagnancy of purpose in society and within individuals, almost a hopelessness, in fact. And it was during that era that Margaret Thatcher came out, she said that there's a generation growing up now who will never see work, like full-time employment, in their lifetime. Get used to it. And the theory that they had at the time, and it's probably still the same under the general capitalistic theory, was that Thatcher talked about this in this fashion. She said we need a goodly amount of people unemployed, because that keeps the wages down, you see, because if we're desperate to get work, you can offer them less money. If you've got full employment, then the employer has to literally buckle under and give more money to get folk to come and work for them when they've got so much choice, you see. And it's a very simple concept. And during that time, that 1970s era in Britain, during that period of nothingness, this where are we going, where am I going? Everybody said the same thing, where am I going? It wasn't just that. And of course, they were getting drugged then too, and they altered all the laws to do with pubs. The pubs in Britain had opening times in the morning. It was 10:30 to, I don't know, it was 2 o'clock or something. And then they closed, and then they opened again at maybe 5:30 or 6 to maybe 10:30 at night, or I think it was a closing time, then you're out by 11 p.m. But when Thatcher was in, they decided to open the pubs all day long pretty well. Maybe it should close for a few hours at night or something. But she said it quite open, quite honestly, and that's what the one thing you could admire about Thatcher. She gave you the reasons. She didn't just simply lie. And she said it's better to have the youngsters with their unemployment money drinking all day in the pubs and then sleeping, you see, every day, rather than going out in the streets and marching and demonstrating or causing riots. And that was as simple, and she said it the way it was. And so they opened the pubs all the time for quite a long time. But there was still a feeling of, I think, lack of purpose. It was like a depression in the air. I used to think of these financial depressions, which Britain was always prone to because it was, you know, an empire. The people at home were paying for all the wars and all the debt for all the wars and the debt for all the they were still throwing you money across the world in these little countries that supposedly ruled. But it was a select few that benefit from all those years. That is a fact. That is the truth. And Britain had a big army because they kept unemployment at a good level, and you could always go into the army and get some respect. You get no respect anywhere else if you're unemployed. Britain still is throwing out money from the taxpayers in Britain to support a lot of the little places that used to be parts of the British Empire still today. So everybody's broke, including Britain, at least the folk in Britain. And it's going to get a lot broker with all the riots going on too, because it's to be taken down into the dust pretty well. In the dustbin of history, that's the old Frankfurt School idea of it. Destroy everything, the culture, the whole lot, right down to its foundations, that which it stands upon, right down to utter crisis and depression, like financial, etc. And with the COVID, they'll certainly get it, and all the riots have had too. I say that as opposed to just demonstrations. We know there's communist riots going on, well funded from outside. And the leaders are certainly well paid for their work in all of this. But again, this didn't come from those demonstrating. Demonstrators and those who riot, they can't think beyond what they're going to loot. or what they're going to burn down that day. That's what rioting's about. But those who are at the very top who plan it and organize it know exactly where it's supposed to go. And one, and it won't be too long, maybe a year's time, you'll see all the ones who were rioting and arguing, literally turning on each other just to get a scrap of food. That's where it will eventually go, if the agenda goes the way it's supposed to go. And that's the way it's planned, of course. Of course, the leaders of all these things won't suffer at all. They'll be well taken care of and looked after, and maybe even flown out the countries to safe havens for themselves and so on. That's how things really, really work. You're living through a perpetual war scenario. And this is the present phase of it. It didn't take countries by surprise. You'll hear certain people's names. Now it's almost forbidden to speak their names now, because your social media is completely part and on board with it, this whole agenda of a complete world revolution, bringing in a new technotronic and technological type society and technocracy to rule it all. They're completely all part of it, naturally, for those at the top. And they want a regulated, obedient society where you'll simply comply. And the beauty of it is, too, through all their tests and their constant incredible studies are so well done with the internet and their, and all electronic communication. Daily, they add to it with enormous amounts, you know, thousands of gigabytes daily just on information. They don't care so much about the topics, but they're interested in how you think about things, how you're feeling about things. Are certain prompts to vote for this or not to vote at all or to riot or whatever, to see if you're falling in line with what they want. It's quite an amazing time for experiments, and they got completely free hand today. But if you mention those who are financing it, you'll be completely struck off and you lose all access to social media, because you're not living in any kind of fair, real society. You're living under a tyranny. And this is the tyranny that Bertrand Russell talked about. He did The Impact of Science on Society and a few other books too. One was awfully good about education, how they would train the children from birth to, into what to believe. And he was talking about future revolutionaries of all kinds, actually, which we've watched happening. But he also said that they can make the children, if you get them young enough, and you keep them in a closed group. It's so interesting to watch this happening with electronics, you see, and with the social media, and with school combined. You can literally bring out everything that Russell hoped would happen. Because he said, if you can really get children and you can separate them from the rest of the world, if possible, then they have a peer group, but you control the peer group. He said that you can make them believe whatever you want them to believe. And you can, if you want to give them enemies, like adults or whatever, because they were doing that in his day too, through communism. They don't trust anybody over 30 and even under that age. They've done it again using social media now, more efficiently than he talked about, because literally with flash mobs and everything, and with indoctrination and the websites, big ones put out there for them, catering to them to help them to agitate and feel unruly about things or get unruly and to be discontented. And they're complete and literally almost an isolated, even though they're all going through the same school curriculums from a very young age, that they're cut off from even their parents. Their parents have no idea what they're learning, and or maybe they don't even care what they're learning. But they certainly don't participate, and they're being literally weaned off of taking care of your children. And they'll let the state do it, exactly what Bertrand Russell said. And it's been so effective. Look at it today. You've got youngsters, they're ready to kill people, a la Marx, you see, and Trotsky, because they believe, oh my God, you've destroyed the planet, and we may all die in a few months' time or a few years' time because of you. All bogus. But they don't know that. And once you're radicalized to that extent, and this is what the communists know, if you read their own writings, if you win by using those children, you have to eliminate them. because now they're contaminated. Because you can't then bring in a society, the next phase of a society, by using the folk that destroyed the old society. You can't bring them in the next phase because they won't be content with what they're seeing happening then in the new phase. They're not getting their utopias fulfilled, you see. Personal happiness. They actually think they're going to be given like a personal happy pill or something. So it's quite fascinating to see it all coming into being. But yeah, Russell said it, and he said that we'll bring in a system. He didn't see a social credit system, but in so many words, but he referred to it in similar words. He said eventually you'll have everyone on some kind of credit system. And don't forget too, I mentioned it before, where he mentioned the Technocracy Inc. Technocracy Inc. that came out in the 1930s, where they would they're called the Grey Men, by the way, for those who don't know it, just like the movies and stuff, and the Grey Men that move between systems and they move between countries during the Cold War, the Grey Men, the grey suits and so on. Well, they had uniforms. It was grey suits. And not quite the in between the platform, you might say, in, like masonry and the tesserated floor, black and white. So what's in between it is called grey, you see. Nothing's a colour, everything's grey. And black's not a colour, neither is white, technically, you see. So they're the grey men. And they used to come out, and they were going to be a replacement for the systems which we can refer to as republicanism in the States or democracy in other countries, which again was a joke because it was never democratic, and it still isn't, of course. But even the communists used that term as well, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, a democratic republic, you see. And but the fact is, Russell talked about them, you see. And there's no doubt he knew them from 1930s on. They didn't die off and go away. They were kicked out of countries like Canada. And I think Musk's grandfather was one of them. Or maybe his grandfather or father, one of the two. But for being subversive. They were classified as literally subversives along with communism, you see. The communists liked some aspects of it too, because they both had so much in common. A future that would not be democratic, a future where the specialists and those in academia and professors and so on would rule your lives. Again, psychologists and not just social workers at the lower level, but psychologists and then behaviorists and so on. And then the biosciences, where they come in and literally make new humans. That's the whole idea in the 1930s of Brave New World, you see. And folk would slap them up, think, oh, that never happened. Look at it today. You know, people can hire. They can hire. There are guys, like two guys, quite common now, hire women, and the sperm inserted one way or another. And they, again, they can literally have the male sperm spliced between the two men. So they're both fathers of the same child and things like that. And this is all normal today. It's quite quite routine, you see. But things that talked about the 1930s, they went through it all, where it would all go to. And they even had terms for wellness in Brave New World. You'd have your span and so on. But they brought all of it in. And Bertrand Russell also said, you know, that he said, and I've mentioned this so many times, that if there's going to be a tyranny, and he saw it would eventually become a tyranny, it didn't matter who it was that was running whatever system, he said he much preferred it would be a scientific tyranny. That's what he was for. He advocated that. But he also talked about this system where you wouldn't be able to complain about anything eventually. He said it too, that the techniques of conditioning the general public were so perfect and perfected that people, meaning sheep, like sheep would be people, you see, sheeple. He said that it'd be as impossible for sheep to complain about the price of mutton as it would for the people themselves to try and change or complain about the system under which they lived. And that's where we are today. with the perfected sciences. It's just too easy in real time, as things are happening and all this social chit-chat across the world, this massive chatter being analyzed instantaneously with billions of algorithms and so on, and categorized. And before an hour or two has passed, everything's put in its own boxes and slots and so on, and countless universities across the world are taking samples and studies and yada, yada, yada to see what works best, etc. It's just incredible what's happening. We have no freedoms at all right now, unless you throw out all the electronics. And even then, you have to really survive in a society where everyone around you is completely hooked into this matrix, you see. And you'll never get through to them. But Russell also said, he said eventually, and here you're down to the social credit system and the universal basic income, he said, everyone will be given credits for a salary. Not for working. For those who work and for those who don't, you'll all get credits. And they'll simply appear into your bank or your credit bank account every week or every month, depending on what they decide. And you're going to understand everything you've heard of, like communism, capitalism, the technocracy, the scientific means of controlling societies and races, all of this all come together in our present system, which they knew would happen. And as I say, they wrote books about it. But Russell said that everyone would be given so many credits per week or per month that you wouldn't, there would be no tangible cash as such. And now, of course, you're on electronic digital cash. But he said that you wouldn't be able to save it up. It'll appear in the same day of the month, every month or every week. And if you've not used it all up by the end of the week, it would start off at the same amount again for the following week. You couldn't save it up. And that way they would keep an equality of poverty amongst the general public. And that would stop so much, again, in their mind, complaining or aggression between peoples when they're all getting the same base. Very communistic in a sense. But don't forget, he was talking about the proper folk running your world. People like him, the proper folk like himself, the folk like him. And again, it's so amazing. I remember reading years later from the United Nations on the idea of self-policing. That's what they call it. And by using psychologists and behaviorists and who are all financed by our tax money, it's just incredible. The billions every year across the world, they get thrown out to these parasites. They find ways to manipulate all of us on behalf of the masters. But he said that what eventually the United Nations would be doing, and the United Nations then comes out with the same thing. Yes, self-policing is the way to go. We'll train people in a Pavlovian sense, you see, instill ideas when they're very young, and so much so that they'll never really break free. Very few can break free from the initial indoctrination, and that's very, very true. And it's just self-policing. They could change normalities, you see. He didn't use normalities. I've used that before, but that it took off. But the fact is, all the social norms, the new normals, you see, the new ideas, the new systems you would bring in of the present reality would be introduced to the general public, and then another present reality. And people would adapt into it. If you didn't adapt, and you were angry or you weren't convinced it was the right way to go for you or society, you'd be punished. Now think about this, what's happening with getting cut off the net too. But he said you would be punished and your credits that would go into your account by the state every, or someone appointed by the state, be some big banking conglomerate, I'm sure. He said that you wouldn't be able to pay your rent or even buy food then, you see. you'll be punished that way. So totalitarianism has as ways to make things more efficient. That's really what he was getting at. And when there's nobody to complain to, you have to comply, or you're down your knees, or you starve to death, or you freeze outside. And it's all. And I'm telling you, it's not our fault, sir. We give you options, you know. If you just went along like everybody else, and that's what they always say in democracy, isn't it? If you go along with everybody else, these folk are all accepting these new rules. What's wrong with you? And so that's how they always force everybody into the same system, or they punish you by using everybody else's. Whenever you see something as being temporary or voluntary to start with, that's what they mean by that. It was that they put it out for driving licenses, which were not mandatory at one time, or insurance for cars, which were not mandatory at one time, etc., etc. It's quite something, isn't it? Always done that. Plato said it. He says, if you understand the techniques that have been used in the past to get specific objectives accomplished, if you understand the formula that introduced them, and it's like step one, they're in a certain order, you see. If you understand, do this first, then that next, then that next, then the people will comply, and then same behavior will be expected from them, will show itself. It's very true. It doesn't matter about how advanced you think you are. The same behavior manifests itself. If you terrorize the public, a good chunk of the public, if you get daily terror, will turn on other ones. And then you can use them to force the other ones into compliance. See, that's how it works. And so, so there's Russell's his idea of a credit system, given to the public, tokens, in some kind, credits, call them what you want. And he came out with that by the 1950s. And don't forget, too, he was also way up in eugenics. All these characters really believe in eugenics and the evolution of man. Now, if you're a nobody, they don't include you under the headline of man. You understand? There's all these little hidden little caveats they have in the normal language you just understand. And again, you can go into even the Rosicrucian ideas and Freemasonic ideas and Kabbalistic ideas of what man is, and then you go off in different tangents, different paths, etc. And if you really follow it all, you come to the same conclusions, and they're all set out that way. Certain people are really human, and some are not. That's what they believe. And they used to always, you say at one time, there's the ones who have spirit and those have no spirit. That goes way back even to the writings of Paul in the Bible, where he referred to those who couldn't comprehend at all what you're talking about decency and human beings and helping one another. And all. He said these are people of instinct, or creatures of instinct, and you wouldn't get through to them, you see. And there's some kind of truth in that as well. The people who are brute instinct are the ones that they do use for extermination camps. We saw that in the communist gulags, and that incredible cruelty for 70 years. That's nowhere near the play that it gets from Nazism, from a 5-year stint, basically, or even 8-year stint, if you dial in before into the 30s. But now you've got 70 years of horror and slaughter in the Soviet bloc countries. I keep every so often looking back at the people who survived the gulags of Bulgaria and the massive camps that were set up, and who lost their, and who were gathering every year after the 90s. And the horror stories these poor folk were telling, and that you'd tell it, their lives would never be the same, obviously. And the huge graves, mass graves that were dug up, never mind all the folk that were burned and even just dumped into waters and so on to decompose. Just horrible stories. of utter brutality. Well, these, the folk who run these camps are creatures of instinct. These are the people who are very base. And if you were under them too, you would have to think into realms you couldn't think before. Are they would calling them a psychopath, would that even come close? Would that satisfy you as a label to describe these people? Or would you go even further? Because they're creatures of instinct. You might just say they're completely possessed creatures, demonic. Because animals wouldn't treat other animals that way. And so you have to really question what these creatures are. Every country has them. And in every age, they have them too. They're dirty squads that deal with dirty business. And once you give them that kind of power, especially when there's no oversight to it, there's no real caring about very detailed paperwork, horrible things happen every day, and it gets worse and worse and worse. It isn't enough for these characters just to kill people. They literally feed off them, in a sense, off their anxiety, their fear, their terror, and their horror. They feed off them, and that's why they prolong their lives in such horrible conditions of torture until they kill them brutally. And I keep telling folk, you can't dismiss this. Again, back to Plato, if you understand the formula to get the public to behave in a certain way, or segments of the public to behave in a certain way, you can introduce it in the same, with the proper sequence again, and the folk will respond exactly the same way to it in any era. That hasn't changed. We're seeing things happening today with this whole horror and terror put out from the top of COVID, which is, of course, a cover for a whole bunch of, it's a whole new world order, that's what it's for the World Economic Forum, using all of the different arms and institutions all connected with them. Never mind the big pharma industries that literally are at the top of the tree, and the ones who are promoting it at the top to the general public on television have massive shares in the pharma industries, for goodness sake. They're going to profit off this. This is in your face. But what you're seeing with the incredible terror they're causing amongst the public, very deliberate installation of abject terror. They know exactly, because I've read a lot of their studies already, that they knew who would be more prone to become terrorized quicker than others. And it was women to start with. They broken down into different age groups as well. And some of the other studies, they said they'd even use these women to terrorize the rest. By when you see someone who's in a store who suddenly freaks out behind a counter or something, because you either don't have a mask on right, or you're not standing in the footprints that were painted on the floor. And you're all going along with this too. And they freak out. You're seeing an incredible aggression from them. They've done studies on the different signs that these people will show to the customers, from the hand out straight, like stop, like a policeman on traffic, to a waving of the hands frantically, which is, it's very much like what you will see the apes do in the jungle. If you look at Goodall's old video on them too, where they run up to you and they say, wave their hands around as a warning. Well, that's how people behave too. People who are really terrified will behave that way. And they can flip any direction at all. And it's meant then, it becomes contagious, because the person who's now being threatened is the customer, you see? And then the customer gets anxious and goes into an anxiety state. And then the arguments can start and all the rest of it because of it. They've already had people shot, by the way. Ontario, that's one of the stories I'll touch on tonight. Ontario, Canada. And it's such an amazing piece of propaganda, disgusting propaganda, the way the stories are written, about this old guy in his 70s, and he was killed by police. And it all started because he wasn't wearing a mask in a grocery store. So now you have folk getting killed, an outcome of whatever happened, you see, in a grocery store. and the cops follow him back to his home. Next thing you know, he's dead. And all the papers could say is, and this is your standard PR thing, while he was a loner, you know, he didn't mix much with people, and like, so that's a crime now, is it? You kill folk for that? Is that the idea? And just see, there's nothing else they could say about this guy. They don't want to touch on whatever happened inside the grocery store, where it all started. But when someone starts screaming at you and freaking, this old guy might have been out for months. Maybe this is the first time he's seen the reaction to him. Who knows? You just don't know. But no, it's good enough that he didn't mix much with people. He kept himself to himself. It's a crime now, you see. Keep yourself to yourself. So let's kill the folk. You know? Standard stuff. But anyway, this is how it was going now. And psychologists are earning a heyday as throughout grant after grant as they study us all, little animals that we are, you see, and how we're reacting to this and that and all the rest, and how to get round us. They may as well comply. Remember, I read the article too from the Sage Group in Britain and elsewhere. The Sage Group's got the BIT units and all kinds of them working with them across the whole planet. Every country is involved together here. And they actually said on the recommendations to the media, and I put that out a few times, it's in cuttingthroughthematrix.com, my own website, so go in there and look up my previous talks on it. And they actually advised the newspapers and journalists to increase pressure, because they decided they want increased anxiety amongst the public to help promote conformity. So, in other words, terrorize the public to get them to conform. And the media has gone along with it. This is in the open. Huh? And it's all media, and the TV is the biggest one of all, of course. Folk are sitting watching, tuning in every day to what they think now is their new lifeline to saving themselves. They're tuning in every day for their daily dose of horror and fear. You'll never get through to those people, and you just won't. You can't do it. Can't do it. See, this whole system is to try to stop you from even thinking for yourself altogether. And so, like that old fella, you know, who got killed there, he obviously wasn't watching TV. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, he'd have been complying and compliant and obedient and yada yada. He wouldn't have been a loner. Oh, he wouldn't like his privacy. Oh, what a crime, eh? What a crime is killing. And we'll never get the whole story of it. Who freaked out first in a store? Where it all started. Never mind why on the earth were the cops following them home. So that's what happens in this new system. You see, it could be you. It could be you. It's quite amazing. There's even articles from Ontario. Never mind just the COVID thing itself, but some of the kind of Antifa groups in Canada. Turned on one of the reporters, and you probably know it's Rebel Media. Like, hate them or love them or whatever, regardless, the fact is the guy did get pushed around. He went down to one of their meetings whenever it was possible. Maybe he went down, I have no idea if he went down, because they were thinking about either throwing eggs at an ex-prime minister or the of Canada, one of the founders really of Confederation. Or maybe knocking the statue down. Who knows what they're really there for? But the fact is, he did say, because they brought a lawsuit against the ones who were attacking them physically, you know, in a public place. And it turned out that the leaders of the groups had asked the police in advance not to even attend that protest, as they call it, you know, at the park. And the police complied. Well, this is sad time. Sad time to be alive, isn't it? Because your own government, Canada, you see, remember, is more communistic than other countries ahead of them. And I think that's the whole reason for all this happening. And can I just tell you that I guess the police are all part of it too. If they're going to comply with the ones who are out to destroy the past, no matter what you think of the past, it's still public property. and they're complying with the ones they're going to do. This is bad news, folks. Really bad news, isn't it? And as I say, I don't really follow most of the stuff in Canada because there's everything's so predictable here. It's very socialistic, to say the least. It's a progressive socialism is just a form of communism, of altering and destroying the past and the culture and everything else to bring in the new. It's the same system again, which the elite want us all to follow. Because everything that's happening across the world right now is with it's not just a compliance of the elite at the top. Because believe you me, if they didn't want this, it would never happen. All the riots and so have been dealt with very quickly. In fact, you would never they've headed them off in the past before they got to moving. But this is what they want. This is the global reset. It's a new way of living. It's with for a, like Bertrand Russell's idea of a credit system and dishing out credits to you and tokens for money, electronic, and you have to comply or else you won't get your tokens every month to whoever is demanded of you. It's all social control. It's all here, folks, and universal basic income is all part of it too. They didn't. They knew this before they brought in the whole idea of complete universal free trade by giving it all to China pretty well in the Far East. It wasn't just. Don't forget, it was your governments that allowed all this to happen. They all signed on to it for China to be the manufacturer for the whole planet pretty well. And which they knew at the very beginning of their free trade, we'd all be unemployed in the West. A good chunk of us anyway. And definitely the folk who worked in factories. And no matter what you think of them, folk had some pride in themselves because they did bring in their own income. And what they worked it to, they made real things, which gave a form of satisfaction too. Today, we've got a miserable bunch of folk who could literally, they don't, again, there's that feeling of the 1970s of Britain, where there was a feeling of lethargy in the air and literally a depression. It wasn't just a financial depression. I actually wonder why I call it just depression. It's more meanings than one. And of course, there's a psychological depression that goes along with it. And that's what you have today when folk literally, don't know what they're here for. And it's much easier for them, those at the top say, well, yeah, we're wondering why you're here as well and why you're existing as well, you know, and why don't you all become sterilized and die off, a la H.G. Wells, eh, in his modern utopia. Why don't you do that, you know, with the Fabian Society's idea? Just get sterilized. They may give you extra credits for it, and you give as much sex as you want, and nothing. There'll be no fallout from it. Maybe a few diseases and things, but they can treat you for that, for most of it and all of it, and it doesn't always work. But, you can be quite happy, and you get a universal basic income, and you'll die off, and maybe in 40 years' time, you see, a whole chunk of society will be gone, didn't procreate, and the elite will get their much, their vastly reduced population. Yeah. And during that 40 years, remember, they'll do more advances in genetic engineering manipulation, and they will bring in a brave new world scenario for their own, you see. At the very least, they'll have a slave population they'll create them, and they won't complain much at all, just like Brave New World. Yeah. Don't forget, these books that were put out, you know, way back in the 1930s and before, were put out because this is what was discussed at the height of empire. These were the things discussed by those who were maybe the fifth, sixth, seventh generation of nobility, you know, across Europe. And they were quite open about the societies they would like to bring in. And academia, as always, the priesthoods are always happy to accommodate the wishes of masters, because it's the masters that couldn't make you a higher priest than you are at the moment, meaning scientist, right? And give you more respect, more responsibility, more income, more power. And it's sad that's how humanity really works, isn't it? It's to do with this power thing. And folk of all calibers, and it's so sad to men and women, women are the same. You see them, and more of them getting in trouble, they're seeking for power and making a mess of it, or falling into the same traps as the men, and scanning the books and so on when they're in charge of the public purse and things like that. Materialism does that, doesn't it? Because that's all you worship eventually is materialism. And all the celebrities, as they call them, are awfully rich. You never see a celebrity that's got an income of maybe 40 grand a year, do you? You wouldn't be a celebrity, you wouldn't follow them, would you? People only drool when they see the lights flickering and the cameras going off at these celebs' shows. And because now they've got fame and fortune, you see. And in a materialistic world, that's what folk worship. Sad but true. Mind you, the other way is just as bad, because then you can go into a system where you pretend it's all altruistic and you'll work for a peanut wage and do really important work and get very little back from it at all. But you'll get all this, oh, you're such a nice person, you're a good person doing what you do for society. You always get used by the same psychopaths. I don't care what kind of system they bring in. It's astonishing, isn't it? And here they're trying to bring in, at the bottom level, really, the ones who are following them really believe this, communism, yeah? Marxism. After all the horrors, as I say, 70 years of mass slaughter and gulags and executions and mass graves, an expansion, naturally, because it was in, but non-expansionist or colonial. Yeah, they're moving their powers in all different countries in the world and getting the public to work for peanuts. And yet everyone who defected, including Bezmenov and many others before, they all started off their talks at the West by saying that they never left for financial reasons. Never left the Soviet system for financial reasons. Because those who got into the KGB, for instance, were the offspring of KGB and before that NKVD and so on, and the Cheka. There's generations of them. They always got their own children into them. And they lived really high on the hog, like any top civil servant in any other country. That's what they said, you know. And so there was nothing that they lacked on the physical means for wealth and comfort and so on. They didn't leave for that. They could have it all on their level in the communist countries, where the folk literally had to line up and wait sometimes 10 years to get a phone installed if they could afford to get one and get it permitted, eh? Kind of like Britain. But it's quite fantastic to see how it really works. And here they're trying to bring it in again, so that maybe a few hundred families can live at the very top of utter luxury with their holiday homes in the countryside and servants taking care of them and all that. Huh? Yeah, real utopia. Yeah. And everyone else is scraping by and lining up at times to outside the main big cities, lining up to get food. They used to show that all the time in the West when there was any kind of shortage. So they're trying to bring it. Now, since the elite at the top, who run the World Economic Forum, right, let's repeat that for the harder thinking, the World Economic Forum, they decide along the Bank for International Settlements, they send their members there too, and the World Bank and the IMF and all the different groups are one big club, all private, all set up by private institutions like the ones who set up the United Nations, all from basically the League of Nations, into the United Nations, with all these different private bank groups to run the world, set up by Lord Alfred Milner, and eventually morphed into the Royal Institute for International Affairs. Running the world, eh? And they're all for this idea of using the youth, the disaffected youth at the moment. They've had their mandatory indoctrination through school and college, to protest and demand that everything's all of civilization stop and go back into some kind of Eden type of simplicity, etc., etc., to save the world and the planet and all that, because they've been brainwashed into it. And who will benefit from it all? Well, it won't be them. It'll be there. It's the ones at the top of the World Economic Forum. The Global Reset, the Great Reset, is a whole new way of living using a socialist Soviet-type system to rule the public. Because then, just like Justin Trudeau said, he admires China, even with the COVID idea, because China doesn't have to bother having to get the public to agree on things and debate things and have their approval. China just tells them what they're going to do and they do it. And that's simple as that. You obey them or else. And he really likes that system. And to go along with what's happening, you have to truly, truly be a doormat, at the very least, to what's happening. When you don't have rights as an individual, you're living in hell. Because that's what they had, as I say, in places like Bulgaria under the communist Soviet regime. You were seen as a mass of people, dissidents, not as individuals. And that's how you'd be treated by the police and everybody else. This is, hey, you, get in there, get in that line, stand there, blah, blah, blah. Shut up, and that's it. That's your utopia. And interesting enough, like I've seen before in other countries, in Yugoslavia, they had that to an extent too. And I said in Bulgaria and other places as well. You hear the folk talking. Now, they came out of an era, right, 1930s and 40s, when they were younger, these people, a lot of them, that survived anyway. They belonged, they had their indoctrination into a form of socialism. Remember, communism was just socialism in a hurry. That's where it always ends up, you see. But some of them were anarchists and agrarian type of anarchists. There are different groupings of them all. They all had their ideas of the way to work and then trade your whatever you produced with other groups rather than use just money and so on. And when the communists take over, folks, they start off by using the anarchists, as they say. To realize, no, the anarchists at the top are not anarchists, they're only communists, and then they turn on all the ones they've used, and that's who ends up in the camps. Really sad, but true. So, it's true how things can repeat themselves. Mark Twain said they never really truly repeat themselves, they just rhyme. But as far as I'm concerned, no, they can repeat themselves. They can wear different uniforms, different clothing, talk different languages, use different terminology. But it's the same thing. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Yep. It's quite fascinating to live through and see it being instituted, isn't it, in our lifetime? And the complete ruthlessness of governments literally telling the media to go along and actually increase anxiety by exaggerating the stories to get the folk to comply, by creating horror, terrifying them. And who knows how many folk already have lost their lives because they couldn't get into hospitals to get treated for basic things. That's murder, folks. This is a generation that's been sacrificed. They knew who they'd sacrifice before it started by not allowing them into the hospitals. Hospitals are meant to treat people with all problems. But most of them got, I mean, you had empty hospitals waiting to see their avalanche, incredible avalanche, to say. Oh my God, avalanche of COVID cases. And folk weren't even getting picked up by ambulances or they were having heart attacks at home. Getting written off. Or just lie down flat in your home and see if it gets any better. And a day or two later, they're dead, eh, in their homes. Who's going to answer for it? You know that no one's going to answer for this. Because it's authorized from the top. What you're seeing is not a grassroots movement from the bottom, including the anarchists. It's all been planned from the top by the richest folk on the planet. Some of them who finance all these things as you know give speeches. And one of them gave a speech at the end of the last WEF big meeting. And he's awfully popular and famous by supplying money to all different groups that are going at it to destroy society. He's the last one to talk and give his talk. You're looking at a completely different governmental system dictating here openly. and you didn't give any approval to it.